Friends, I'm sending this evening to Philippians chapter 3 and to verse 17. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have asked for an example. And our title for this evening is the character of Paul, an example to Christians. The character of Paul, an example to Christians. And in this verse, the apostle, in the foregoing verses, before the verse 17, he had been telling how he counted all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And in the text, he is also urging us that his example should be followed. The example of him losing all things for the excellency of Christ should be an example for us to follow. And I'm sure there are so many other examples in his character that we are going to explore tonight. And he does this in two ways. First, he exhorts the Philippian Christians to follow his example. He said, brethren, be followers together of me. He exhorts them to be followers of him together. That is, they should all follow his example with one heart. And then, so, should follow him, his example, with one heart and then one soul. And then agreeing in the character and assist each other in the same character. This is exactly what Paul is saying. Then, in the second place, he says, they should take particular notice of those who have similar characters. And this is the expression that he said, mark them which walk so as he have as for an example. Apart from him, he said that we should also mark other people who also walk as he walked, as an example. There are a few things to note here. We have to follow the good examples of the Apostle Paul. And so we are to consider that the apostle did not say this for himself. For we know that he didn't say it because of his ambitious spirit or maybe he was boasting that we should follow him. But it is from God. Because when Apostle Paul speaks in the Bible, we know that the Bible is inspired by God. So whatever he says here, it's from God, because we know that the word of God is not of any private interpretation. God spoke to them and they wrote. So what he's saying, he was moved by the Holy Spirit to say that. So it's a very serious thing that we should take, for God to show us an example to follow as Christians. He directed that we should follow the examples of Apostle Paul. We are also to consider this, that it is not a command to only Philippians. Even though the epistle was addressed to them, it was for all Christians to the end of this world. In the same way as the law which was given on Mount Sinai is for all of us, in the same way, this is also a command for all of us. Even though this was written by Paul for a particular occasion, it is for all of us. Once it is in the scriptures and it is there for us who have come in this age, it is there for all of us. Like I said, in the same way as the Ten Commandments was spoken from Mount Sinai to the children of Israel, but it is not to be regarded as to them alone, but to all of us. But this is also not to tell us that we should imitate in anyone, any good thing that we see in anyone, regardless of how the people may be. But there are some spiritual obligations that lay on Christians to follow the good examples of this great apostle. And it has been pleased the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, which is God himself, in a special manner to set up Apostle Paul. We know Apostle Paul and his life in the Bible. He was set apart as an example for us. He was not only as a teacher of the Christian church, but a pattern for us to follow. That is why Apostle Paul is saying this. And he's not saying it by himself. It is a word from the Almighty. In fact, the greatest example for all of us is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you want to see our real example, is Jesus Christ. He is the one who is said he came in the form of a human being, as a human nature, that we should all emulate his humiliation and all that the example that he showed in this world. So this is what we should follow as our great example. But there's a reason why the Bible is talking about following the example of Apostle Paul. Because even if you look deeper, then our example should be God himself and the law. That is why he gave the commandment. The commandment was actually the way to lead a perfect life. That is why God gave it to us. In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1, he says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." And then in Matthew chapter 5 verse 48, he says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." So if you look at it, our example should be God himself or our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But the example of Christ when on earth is more especially for our passing, because he is the one that we saw actually in this world. He lived for 33 years. People saw him being born and all that he went through. So this should be an example. But though, like I said, God and the commandment should be our example, yet it is too much above us because we are a fallen being. So his nature, the nature of God, is infinitely different from ours, but it is impossible for us to follow his laws. That is why he sent Christ to come. And even Christ, even though he came to live for us to see him, he was still a divine person. Christ was a divine person who became man, just as we are. So he was set as an example for us. But really, he is not exactly as us, because Christ was in this world as a man, and he was still divine. So there's a difference between him and us. He dwells among us, fine. He depended on food and raiment, as we all do. And he needed some actual support for his life, as we all do. He was subject to the changes of time and the afflictions and the calamities in this world. In all of them, he was like us. He was also subject to abuse, as we are also subject to abuse. And then he was tempted. We all know how he was tempted by Satan, in the same way as we also go through temptation. He was subject to the same law and rule, even as we are. And he had many of our trials. All the trials that we go through, Christ was also on this earth, he went through. And even greater trials. He went through trials that we have never gone through and will never go through. So his example is offered to us in scriptures for our imitation, because of all what he's been through. But yet, the example of this, like I said, because we are fallen creatures, even though it may be fitting for us to live like that, it is also still high for us because of our nature, because we are sinful creatures. Even though he became as we are, as like us, and was in the same circumstances as we were, yet in other things, there was a vast difference between us and Christ. First, he was the head of the church, and we are just members. Second, he is Lord of all, and we are his subjects and his disciples. And we need an example that shall teach and direct us how to actually follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this, who else can do this than somebody who has also been a fallen creature like us, and by the grace of God have been converted, and now Christ, God, is telling us to use him as our example. Because when it comes to us and Christ, Christ didn't have to repent as we have to, because there was no sin in him. Christ did not have any sin like how we have mortification of our lust and all those things. Christ didn't have all of them. He didn't have to fight against sin, because there was no sin in him. But we were falling, and we had to fight to mortify it, to mortify our sins, to repent of our sins, and all these things which Christ is not does not have all these things. This is why the scriptures does not only recommend Christ, but also some men who have lived like us as an example. Apart from Paul, there have been so many other men that the Bible gives us as example to follow. That is why there were so many eminent men in the Old Testament that are mentioned that we should follow them. In Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12, it said, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherited the promises. There are people who also were like us, falling, but through faith they were able to obtain the promises of God. And when it comes to Hebrews chapter 11, there are a great number of eminent people who are mentioned there as patterns for us to follow. Abraham, for instance, is one of them who, in his particular manner, he was set forth as an example of his faith and a pattern for believers, that we should have his faith. That is why we call him the father of faith. In Romans chapter 4, verse 12, he says, and the father of circumcision to them that are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. So Abraham, for instance, is set for us as a man of faith for us to follow. There were also some of the prophets in the Old Testament who were also recommended for our pattern. James chapter 5 verse 10 says, take my brethren, the prophets, who were spoken of in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. So when it comes to affliction and patience, there are some old prophets whom the Bible referred to for us to also see as our example. Then when you come to the New Testament, there were so many apostles and others that God sent forth to preach the gospel. And there are also examples for Christians to follow. Example, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, remember them that have the rule over you. It means those who have come to speak the word to us, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So you see, there are also other men in the New Testament who are given to us as patterns for us to follow. But of all men, no one is set or particularly as a pattern to follow for Christians as the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 16, he said, wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. And then chapter 1 verse 11, he said, be ye followers of me, as I am also of Christ. The same Paul. When it comes to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 6, the Apostle Paul commanded the Christians to also imitate his example. He said, and he became followers of us and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. We can also quote 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 7, where he insists as their duty. He said, for you yourself know how you ought to follow us. So now, to our subject of following the Apostle Paul, what I'm going to do is, I will mention many of the good examples of the Apostle Paul, which we ought to imitate. What are the examples that God wants us to imitate? I will mention some of them. Then I shall also show under the obligation that we are to follow the good examples of the apostle. First, I will mention those things to do with his watchfulness. Apostle Paul was very, very watchful for the good of his own soul. Second, we'll learn about the virtues in him that shows his respect for God and Christ. And then the third thing we are going to see is those about his respect for men. He had respect for God, he had respect for Christ, he had respect for men as well. First, we ought to follow the good example that Apostle set in seeking his own soul, that is his own salvation. Even though we are not told, as we learn in the morning, how we have to press into the kingdom of God, for if you look at the way Apostle Paul described the gospel, he said, shame unto me if I preach not the gospel. And the way Apostle Paul lay emphasis on the gospel, we can see that he struggled, whatever he would do, to be saved. We all know what he went through to be saved. And it is an example for both believers and unbelievers that we should exercise in his behavior how he also earnestly sought the kingdom of God. He pressed into the kingdom of heaven, as we learned in the morning. He did not hold between two opinions or seek with a wavering heart, as we were saying in the morning, but he was fully determined to be saved. He had a strong resolution about his salvation. He did not worry about, you remember he was saying beginning that he lost everything for the excellency of Christ. So he did not hesitate to lose everything that he had just to be able to have Christ. So he said he suffered the loss of all things that he might win Christ and be found in him and in his righteousness. Apostle Paul was not like the young man who went to Christ to ask for his salvation, and when Christ asked him to go and sell all his things, he became very sorrowful because he had a lot of things. And when he was told by Christ to go and sell everything and give to the poor and come and follow him, he was sorrowful. Apostle Paul was not like that. I'm sure if Christ had told the young man to go and sell half of his property and come, he would have done that. And when he said he should go and sell everything, he couldn't. But look at Apostle Paul. He had to forego everything for God. He has a great desire for his salvation. And he was resolved, if it was possible, that he would obtain it, regardless of whatever he had to go through to obtain it. And remember, Apostle Paul had a very comfortable life. He wasn't like any poor person who needed something from God. He was really, really comfortable and honorable, because among his Jews, he was a very high, great lawyer, accomplished person in the Jewish society. He had the best education, as I said in the morning. He was trained by Gamaliel, a very known and very, very prestigious lawyer who trained him. And yet, he was prepared to lose all these things. I remember in his time, they will scorn you if you are of such position and you are following the Christian, because of how people saw the way, people saw the Christian way. And yet, Apostle Paul was determined to follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He lost all, and because he lost all and left and followed him, the Jews didn't like him, and they were persecuting him everywhere. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26, he said, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." Means he was determined that whatever it takes, whatever he has to lose, to get to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he would. He was tempted with all kind of allurements in this world, and yet he stood against all of them and renounced them as lost for the excellency of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, he said, "I keep under my body and bring it under subjection." Remember, Apostle Paul had to become a tent maker just for the sake of the word of God. Even though he was such kind of high lawyer, he was still determined to follow Christ, even if he had to lose all this. How many men can do this in our days? Now, after this, I will also talk about the virtues in him that we have to follow. And the first thing was his strength in his faith. He was very, very strong in faith. Apostle Paul is one person that we can say that he lived by faith. His faith seemed to be like without doubt at all. He had very, very strong faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, 7, and 8, he said, "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord, but we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." So he had faith. He knew that even if he leave this world, he would go to where Christ is. So his faith was very, very, very strong. He always speaks of God and Christ as things that he was seeing, as if he was seeing them, but not things in the future. he saw Christ as somebody who was very, very close to him. And he behaved as certainly that he knew them, and he knows what Christ had said was true, that he will be with him in heaven. So he was determined to forgo everything and follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Like I said, he spoke as if he knew Christ and the promises of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11, he said, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus, for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." So you see, he was even prepared to die for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he spoke with somebody who had an expectation and a hope of fulfillment of all God's promises. He knew that whatever God has promised will come through, and that built his faith. And anybody who will follow God and be blessed by God must have faith. Know that whatever God has said is true. Like this afternoon, we were talking about faith. When people talk about faith, they think faith is what they want. Because they want it, then God must give them. No. Faith is resounding yourself to God, just committing everything in the hands of God, knowing that whatever God gives you is the best. And that's the kind of life Apostle Paul was living. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, he said, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." So you see, he had a strong faith that he knew what he has committed unto Christ, he will have it in the last day. We can also talk about his great love to Christ. Apart from the faith that he had in Christ, he had a greater love to Christ. And the Corinthian church were very surprised at at Apostle Paul and the love that he had. They even wondered that he was so influenced and motivated. They were wondering what was influencing him and motivating him that he trusted and love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, he said, "The love of Christ constraineth us." The love of Christ. He had so much for Christ that his love constrained him. And he had such a delight in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the knowledge and contemplation of him, that he tells us that he counted all things but loss for his excellency. The rich young man would never give things away. Apostle Paul was prepared to give everything away, become a poor man for the sake of our Lord. He said, "I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord." And he gives this reason why he even glorified in suffering for Christ in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. He said, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." He explained why he has that kind of hope, how he trusted in our Lord and Savior, and how does he triumph in this love to Christ. In the midst of all his sufferings, he answered that in Romans chapter 8, verse 35, 36, and 37. He said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him." You see, he knows that in all these things he will be able to conquer through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He explains why, and then he shows why. He shows how he's going to conquer, not by his own strength, but by through him that has loved us, which is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Like I said, he lived in a time when Christianity was greatly despised. People despised Christianity in his time, and yet he said he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Christians everywhere were despised. True, even now it is happening. People despise us. When you go out on the street, you see how people despise us. And even those who claim to be Christians do not really mean what they are saying. Apostle Paul was so determined and believed in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he was proud to follow him regardless of whatever will come his way. To be a Christian was regarded as what ruined a man's reputation after the time of Apostle Paul. Christians were everywhere looked upon as fools and were derided and mocked. They were the meanness of mankind and offscouring of the world, the whole world. And we are seeing it even up to now. Christianity is the most hated religion in the world. Why? And why is Apostle Paul saying all these things and yet saying that that is where he has to follow? Like I said, he was an esteemed young man of more learning than ordinary men in his days. He wasn't just an ordinary person, but he left all these things to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ anywhere he went. Anywhere he went and there was a dispute about the Christian faith, he would stand firm. And that is what we must do. Wherever you go, regardless of whoever is there, whether it's your boss or whatever, once it comes to the issue of Christ, you have to defend it and speak the truth and let people know where you stand. And that is exactly one of the examples that Apostle Paul wants us to follow. In the midst of all these things, he felt no shame, but he boldly disputed with the when he went to Athens. Athens is where the philosophers and all the learned men were, and he was arguing with them boldly about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is what we must also do. The same way when he came to Rome was the metropolis where the emperor was, and yet he met with them, the senators and all of them, and he was arguing and strongly defending the Christian faith. And that is what we must do, whether you come to the president or whoever you come to. When it comes to the issue of about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you must be able to defend and let people know where you stand. In Romans, he said, "I'm ready to preach the gospel for you that are at Rome also, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Then he gives the reason. "Therefore, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." If you read down, he gave so many reasons why he's not ashamed of the gospel. This is only one of them. There are so many reasons that he gave why he is not ashamed of the gospel. When you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, he said, "We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day." See, we are the most despised people in all over the world. And when it comes to the verse 10, he said, "We are fools for Christ's sake." We are fools for Christ's sake. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 4, he said, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." You see, here is an example for us to follow. If at any time we fall among people anywhere and there's a concept about our Christian faith, we should stand firm and defend. This is where we are following the example of Apostle Christ. Another virtue that we can learn from him is that his contempt of the world and his heavenly mindedness. You see, like I said, he was able to forgo everything in this world and focus in heaven. He contented all the vain enjoyments of the world. Everything that the world see as enjoyment, he gave them up and was hoping to go to heaven. That was where his mind was. He despised in riches. Acts chapter 20, verse 33, he says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. He despised the pleasure of the world. I kept under my body." See what he's saying? He kept under his body. He was content with whatever God had given him. His pleasures were the sufferings of the body instead of the gratification of the carnal appetite. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, he said, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake." He was prepared to go through all this for the sake of Christ. And when we come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6, he said, "Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, not yet of others." He didn't seek glory from any man. He sought his glory from God, believing that in the last days, he will be the, he said, who loved last the best. You are prepared to go through all the sufferings in this world for the sake of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He declared that the world was crucified unto him. He said this world was crucified unto him. And he unto the world. He is also crucified unto the world. So he despised everything in this world for the sake of God. Sorry, I'm quoting so many verses, but I just want to prove this example from Christ, from Apostle Paul, that we have to follow. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, he says, "Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." So you see, he longed greatly for the things which are not seen, but he believed that they will happen. Then from verse 5 and 4, he says, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we will be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life." See? And he tells us that he knew no man after the flesh. That is, he did not look upon the man or things of this flesh, or regard them as related to the world, or as they respected the present life. He knows how people in this world take things of this world. You see how people are struggling for positions. People will do anything, even if it comes to killing people, to get positions in this world. Things that are temporary, what people are fighting for. Apostle Paul never fought for those things. He hoped, his hope was in the Lord, and he knew that will come when Christ comes. And I'm sure these examples will make people like us all ashamed. People who are not really giving up things of this world, who are not spending their time and their money seeking things of this world instead of seeking things of the Lord. And that is what Apostle Paul did. And this is what we are told to follow as his example. The next thing we should follow as a virtue of Apostle Paul is he abounded in prayer and praise. Apostle Paul was a man of prayer and praise. He was very earnest and greatly engaged in these duties and continued in them, and all his life he was praying and praising God. Remember, I've said here before how God demands our praises, how we need to show our gratitude unto God for all the things that he has done for us. Look in Romans chapter 1, verse 6, Apostle Paul said, "First, I thank my God," see that gratitude, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." So you see that he was a man of prayer, praying for godly people wherever they are, that they will be able to continue with our work for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, regardless of all the difficulties and all the temptations and all the sufferings. He was praying for them. Again, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, he said, "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." So he was always thanking God for the people who have been saved, the churches, wherever they may be, and then praying for them that they will be steadfast in their relationship with God. Again, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, he said, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, he said, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father." So many of them, you can go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9, all of them talking about how he thanks God for their lives and how he prays for them, that God will be with them and protect them. Another virtue that we should imitate from our Apostle Paul is his contentment. His contentment under all the divine providence that he had. Apostle Paul, when we talk about somebody who had a divine providence, nobody can be compared to him. The experience that Apostle Paul went through, no human being. That is why we always say that Apostle Paul, whatever the apostles, all the apostles saw, he also experienced them, but in a spiritual way. See, all the other ones were called by Christ himself one by one. Apostle Paul was called in a special way. So what he went through, no apostle went through that. That is why we don't believe that, that in our days we can have apostles again. You see? And he was also tempted, as we are, with worldly allurements. But in all of them, he refused them and was confident that whatever he, whatever God had given him was enough for him. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 to 12, he said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to obey, how to be obeyed, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." See, he was content with whatever he has. And he learned to be humble and also to be high. Whatever situation Apostle Paul goes to, he is able to adapt himself to that situation, knowing that Christ will strengthen him. Our time is running. We should also look at his meekness, and especially under abuses. That is under his respect for men. We have talked about his respect for God, for Christ, and now his respect for man. And under that, the first thing is his meekness under abuse, and his love to his enemies. Even when he was being abused, when people were attacking him and whatever, he was still able to bear with his enemies. You see, so we know that Apostle Paul had so many enemies. There were so many people who were hated him, but there's no appearance of his hating any of them. All those who were hating him, he never hated them back. The greater part of the world where he went were his enemies, but he was the friend of everyone and labored and prayed endlessly for the good of all, even for those who hated him. And when he was reproached and derided and buffeted, still it was with meekness and gentleness of spirit that he bore all of them. And he wished well to them. Even those who hated him, he wished them well. An example is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. It says, "Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat." In all these things, Apostle Paul was able to bear them, and even not just bearing them, praying for them, those who were hating him, wishing them well. Remember when he went to Jerusalem in all this suffering, and there was such an uproar about him, and the people they were so furious that not until they killed Apostle Paul, not until they spilled his blood, they will never repent. He didn't have any anger for them afterwards, after all these things. He said, listen to what he said. He said, "I will to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except this chain." You see, he was praying for them that he wished they would be as he is. As he is, like his faith in God, all the virtues that we have mentioned, apart from him being in the chains. So even though he wished them well, he didn't wish that they also go through that chains that he was. And these were people who were hating him, people who were trying to kill him. Apostle Paul didn't have any hatred for them at all. He did not desire that they should also be like him in the affliction. If there was anybody now, we say, what, go back to the sender or whatever people say, that if you wish me bad, I wish that same bad thing to come to you. Paul never did that. He didn't wish that they also suffer, but he said he wished them well apart from his chain. That means he didn't want them to be in the affliction that he was with them. Regardless of all the abuses that he went through, he still would be gladly. And he said, "I wish to be spent and to spend and be spent for the people who were hating him. He was prepared to do anything to save them, instead of wishing them what he was going through. And in Romans chapter 10, what he said is that, brethren, my heart desire and prayer is to God for Israel is that they might be saved. See what he was saying? Apart from all what they were doing to him, his heart desire is that they might be saved. He also delighted in peace. When there's any contention among the Christians, he was grieved by it. Whenever he hears of any contention, whatever it is, Apostle Paul would be grieved. And when he heard of the contentions, especially that broke up in the Corinthian church, he told the Philippians how he should rejoice their living in love and peace. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, he said, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, then verse 2, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and at one mind. So he sought peace for all the churches and all the Christian believers where they are. And this is what we must also imitate, that we must have peace in our churches. He was a man of most tender, compassionate spirit. Apostle Paul was a very compassionate person. Even when the Corinthian Christians had committed a very grievous offense, and Apostle Paul had to write a very serious letter warning them, when the letter went, they felt very sorry. They were sorrowful. Even though the offense he had committed was so grievous that it demanded that kind of stern warning from the Apostle Paul. And yet, when even though they took it and repented, Apostle Paul felt that he had spoken to them harshly. Look at what he said. He said, for though I made you sorry with the letter, I did not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistles have made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Even though my warning was very strong and stern, it has made you sorry. So obviously, even though he felt that he should have spoken to them in that way, at the same time he's saying that he had to speak to them in that way for them to be able to come out of whatever sin they had committed. Because of our time, let's rise. We also have to learn how he rejoiced at others' prosperity and joy. When the other churches were prosperous and they were happy, Apostle Paul was also happy with them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7, verse 6, he said, nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in all. When he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind towards me, so that I rejoice the more. He rejoiced. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort. Yea, and exceedingly the more joy we were, the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. So you see, Apostle Paul was somebody who rejoiced with those who were prospering. And then he delighted in the fellowship. Delighted in the fellowship of the fellow believers of God's people. He longed after them when he was absent. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 5, he said, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And also in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, he said, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for, my joy and crown, so stand last in the Lord, my dearly beloved. You see, he delighted in the fellowship of all the other Christians. In Romans chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, he said, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Another thing is that he was very, very courteous in his behavior towards others. Apostle Paul was very, very courteous. Though he was a great man, as I've said already, and he had much honor, but put upon him by God, I said, what he went through, what he saw, no other Christian has been able to go through. And yet, he was very, very courteous. And he was even calling the people of Jewish his brethren. I remember when he had to appear before the magistrate, he treated them with honor and respect, even though he knew they were unbelievers. He knew what he had experienced in God, he had never experienced. Yet he exalted them as to give them the honor that they deserve. When the Jews took him to the temple and they behaved themselves more like devils, like him, and yet look at the way he addressed them. He said, "My brethren and fathers, hear my defense." See, he was so courteous, even though the people who were there, the magistrates, were not believers. And even when he appeared before Festus, he said, "Most noble Festus." That's how he addressed him. So Apostle Paul was a very courteous person. I hope with all these examples of Apostle Paul and his virtues that we have learned, it is proper that we should follow his steps. We should imitate his example. And this is why the Bible is directing us as a man that we should follow. Apostle Paul, he has great examples for us to follow. If we are able to follow all these things, we will be diligent and we will be endeavoring to do good. And we will be able to please our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My prayer is that we will be able to follow these shining examples of Apostle Paul, that we will be able to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.